Today we find there are so many yogis who come from after some amount of little tapasya, and they can read your mind and they can tell you what you were or what you are doing, what you are thinking, and people start, my God, you are God, and they think, yeah, actually I never realized, I think I am God, and tomorrow they become avatars. Ultimately they fall down, because if you use it for me, if you misuse this power, everything will be lost. Any of this yogic power misused, even if it is used on a regular way, if you use it, it's a material thing. If you use it, it is lost. And therefore, ultimately, they simply come for darshan, that's all. Because the potency is lost and they have no time to go to tapasya, because everyone is standing in darshan for darshan of God. And they can't say, our God, you know, lost his power, so he's gone to do tapasya again for 12 years. They say, what kind of God is he who loses power every few years? So they stop doing all these tricks anymore, because power is lost, but queue is too long. Ultimately, the topmost rung of the ladder is called Bhakti Yoga. According to Bhagavad Gita, there are different rungs, and the topmost rung of the ladder is Bhakti Yoga, or pure loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Now, let us try to understand, what is this Bhakti Yoga? According to the Bhagavad Gita, the perfection of life is to engage in pure Bhakti Yoga. It is considered the highest and topmost yoga system. In the 6th chapter, last verse, Krishna says, 47th verse, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamumataha. O Arjun, of all the yogis, he who worship me within the core of his heart and engaged in my service is considered to be the greatest of all yogis. So, worshipping the Lord within the core of one's heart and surrendering one's life is the supreme yoga. The word bhakti, if you say bhakti, it automatically means two more terms. It includes two more terminologies. Bhakti means devotional service. And if you say service, there are two more persons involved. A person who is rendering the service and a person who is receiving the service. Right? If you say service, that means there is somebody who is receiving that service and somebody who is offering that service. So if you say bhakti, yoga means reunite, though bhakti unites two kind of people. This service unites Bhagavan and Bhakta. Bhagavan is Bhakta Vatsala, who loves the devotees. And Bhakta is he who loves his Bhagavan. Therefore, when Bhagavan and Bhakta, they develop their bondage or true intimate relationship of pure love, unalloyed love, unmotivated love, that is the ultimate perfection of yoga. Yoga means to reunite. You can't unite with the Lord in any other way than uninterrupted and unmotivated pure devotion. So if we develop pure love for God without any ulterior motive, if I do worship, tomorrow you should give me this. Huh? If you don't give, I'll stop you, I'll go to someone. This is not love. My Lord, if you want, you embrace me. If you want, you kick me. If you want, you ignore me. But I am your servant eternally. I will continue to serve you, whether you reciprocate or not. But I am your servant. God is so pleased by such an unmotivated love that he becomes a servant of his servant. Just see the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna became Partha Sarathi. What is Sarathi? Sarathi means a very like a chauffeur. You know, I see sometimes, you know, big people come to our temple and the car stops and immediately the driver gets out and opens the door and salutes up. Then the man comes out and closes the door and he's waiting. The person has gone up and he's just waiting, standing there, attention. Even if it is a half an hour, 1 hour, 45 minutes, just standing there. And when the person comes, immediately opens the door and goes inside. A very cheap, menial job to become someone's driver. How we treat the drivers? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of pure, unalloyed love and the surrender of Arjun, in reciprocation, becomes his servant. And it is described, during the war, you can't shout because there are so many shoutings going on. So many people shouting, so many people being killed, so many arrows are being shot, so many elephants are shouting, so many horses are whining. If you want to tell the charioteer, and because you are shooting arrows, your hands are busy. So the only way to tell your charioteer to whether you want to go right or left is you have to kick him. Because he's standing behind and shooting arrows and the charioteer is going front. So if you want to indicate, move right, you can't shout, daine mudo, because he can't hear and he may think bye and he will go that side. Therefore, a charioteer or the person who is sitting on the chariot shooting arrows, he would kick the back shoulder. If he kicks the right shoulder, that means he has to move right. If he kicks the left shoulder, you know, he's shooting arrows and move this side. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the ultimate source of everything, controller and proprietor and enjoyer, is taking such a menial job of being kicked by his devotee very happily, doing the task of a menial chauffeur. Why? Because he sold out to the unalloyed love of Arjun for himself. This is the reciprocation of the Lord and the devotee. The devotee wants to serve without any expectation, and the Lord looks for an opportunity to serve his devotee. This is loving exchange. And this is the supreme yoga, where each one thinks not of his benefit, but only the pleasure, satisfaction of the beloved. That is pure love. And that pure love can come only between God and the living entity. That is yoga. When there is pure love in the heart, this unity, this union of yoga is considered the perfection of life. And until we attain that perfection, any other yoga is just below the top rung. Now, how do we get that yoga? How do we do that? Now, before I explain that, I would like to explain, you just remind me, we will discuss this in the last, later, that there, it is practiced in nice ways. But I would like to tell you why Krishna considers Bhakti Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita as the topmost. Why Bhakti Yoga or how Bhakti Yoga is topmost? Because it gives the maximum result. No other yoga can give the highest destination of going to Krishna Loka, to the abode of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Not jnana and not karma. Only, or not even Ashtanga. Only Bhakti Yoga can take you above this material universe and take you to the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha. Help you transcend. So it gives the maximum result. In minimum time, it is like a super fast express. Others are like passenger trains. They may not also reach. They may take very long time. But Bhakti Yoga takes minimum time. In fact, Krishna says, Na Chirat. Chirat means long time. Na Chirat. Very soon you shall attain me. Tasyaham sulabha partha. Nitya yuktasya yoginah. Tesham aham samudharta. मृत्यु संसार सागरात भवामी नचिरात पार्थ मई आवेशित चेतसाम। He says, O Arjun, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death of those devotees who are totally surrendered unto me. I will swiftly, na chirat, chirakala means long time, na chirat means very quickly. Next, minimum effort. In a staircase you have to climb. But you just have to stand in an elevator, or what do you call that? Escalator. You don't have to climb, you just have to stand. No effort. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktyat prayachati tadaham bhakti uparatam ashnam. If one offers with love and devotion, one leaf, a little water, one fruit, patram pushpam, or one flower, one, not even patrani, pushpani, not in plural. If one leaf offered with love and devotion, Krishna is sold out to such a person. Man sees the lips, but God sees the heart. Man sees the result, but God sees the endeavor. If our endeavor is sincere, if we are doing our best, sincerely from our heart, bhavagrahi janardana, his bhava, he sees the heart of the devotee. Shabri was trying to please Lord Ram, and she was so concerned that Ram should receive the best fruits. So she forgot all etiquette, that you should not taste first. She started tasting. Lakshman was so angry, what nonsense, this is the way? Actually you should eat after he eats, but you are eating and offering your jutha. You are offering your remnants. Ram said, no. See her heart. What's her intention? She wants to give me the best. Ram relished that, because he sees the heart of his devotee. It's not the endeavor, or it's not the result. It's the endeavor and the feeling behind that, what actually the Lord sees. No previous qualifications. As you enter, God, Krishna says, hey, show your degree. Are you qualified? Unless you have a double degree and a PhD, you can't enter the kingdom of God. No, only the humble shall attain the kingdom of God, Jesus said. There is no qualification, no material qualification required. Some animals have gone to the kingdom of God, like Gajendra. Someone who had no, Valmiki had no birth, he was from a very low caste. As far as age, Dhruva was very small. Gajendra, the elephant, had no intelligence. He did not have any, you know, understanding of Sanskrit. Kubja had no beauty. She was an ugly looking lady, but she offered little chandan, what she was carrying for Kamsa. Krishna was pleased by that. Sudama had no money to offer beautiful things. In fact, he begged and borrowed from few houses some cheap rice, and he was actually hiding because he felt so ashamed. If you go to a millionaire and give 2 paisa coin, which is, you know, completely rubbed out, you feel so shy. He hid it actually. But Krishna saw the feeling behind that, and he accepted it, love. Vidura was born a Dasi Putra, but Duryodhana offered him 56 bhog. Krishna did not take it. But Vidura's wife offered a little shark, but Krishna received it. He doesn't see any material qualification. You don't be materially qualified. The only qualification is a humble heart. A very humble heart. Knowing ourselves to be insignificant and knowing the Lord to be the supreme most. When we surrender our lives, that is pleasing to God, and that qualifies us. And bhakti means you accept the Lord as supreme and you accept yourself as an insignificant servant of his servants. You can practice bhakti at all times. from the womb to the tomb. There are great devotees who started their practice when they were in the womb of their mother. Prahlad. Prahlad heard the glories of the Lord when he was in the womb of his mother, and from there he started. Dhruva Maharaj was a small child. I don't have the pictures of those people. This is not Prahlad's mother. I just got whatever I could immediately access. But the idea is, you should get. I hope this lady will also have Prahlad as for having contributed to our Gita course. So, it can be practiced at all times. You are in the womb of your mother. You can still practice. You are a small child. Dhruva Maharaj was only 5 years old when he saw God face to face because of his determination and because of his sincerity and humility. And even an old man who is about to die, he can practice. Dhritarashtra, about to give up his life. At that time, he perfected his life by surrendering to Vidura's instructions and following it sincerely. So it doesn't matter. One, Maharaj Khatvanga, he asked the Devatas, how long I have to live? They said, in a few seconds you're going to die. Oh, really? And at that moment, he surrendered his life. And he achieved the perfection in 1 second. So in any condition of life, you can practice bhakti. But karma yoga, you have to grow up and have some facility to offer yajna, sacrifice, money you have to have. You have to have some brahmanas, you have to have some facility. To achieve practice jnana yoga, you have to have some intelligence. A mentally retarded person can't practice jnana yoga. He can't understand Sanskrit, he can't read the Upanishads, he can't understand their meanings. Of course, in Kali Yuga, even we cannot do it, intelligent people with 120 IQ. What to speak of retarded people? Laymen cannot practice jnana yoga. And as regards Ashtanga yoga, pressing your nose, standing at the head, if you are an arthritis fellow, impossible. Ashtanga yoga is impossible. And suppose suddenly you are jumping and you are falling from the Empire State Building. That is the last moment in your life. How can you practice karma yoga? How can you practice jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga? Press your nose and do asana. There is only one asana, that's all. Head down and legs up. Falling full speed. At that time, you can surrender yourself to the Lord and chant His holy name. That is possible. So, bhakti can be practiced by anyone, at any time, under any circumstances. There is no barrier. Therefore, it is the easiest, it is the simplest, yet the most sublime and shortest. And complete security. In other yoga, there is a chance of falling down. There are many instances of yogis like Vishwamitra. After 60,000 years of tapasya, he fell down to the ankle bells of Menaka. He was distracted. There are jnana yogis who were deviated from their path. But bhakti yoga is very secure, very safe. A beautiful example is given. If you have seen the next one, there are two kinds of animals. A monkey takes care of its child, and a kitten or a cat family, they also take care of their children. Have you ever seen how a young monkey is taken care of by the mother? Anyone has seen? The monkey never carries the child. The child has to hold on to the monkey, mother monkey. And the monkey is jumping, she monkey is jumping from, you know, home to home or, you know, from branch to branch. And the young one has to catch hold of the monkey, mother. If it releases, it will fall down. But as regards the cat, if you see how the cat carries its kitten, the she cat carries her kitten, it's very interesting. The she cat carries the kitten in her mouth. The cat is helpless. The kitten is helpless. It's just lying down. And it is picked up in the mouth of the she cat. And she carries from place to place. No endeavor on part of the kitten. it is completely surrendered to the mother. Whereas the little monkey, if it leaves, then it will fall down. This is the difference between Bhakti Yoga and other yogas. In Bhakti Yoga, you surrender to Krishna. Deen Bandhu Dinanath, Meri Dori Tere Haath. I completely surrender, my Lord. I am fool number one. I don't know what is my endeavor, but I want to come to you. Please help me. Pick me up. And Krishna lifts. And Krishna is so powerful. If he lifts, no one can snatch you away from him when he decides to lift. But when you try to go up, by chance, some mistake, which to err is human. So you may fall down. Again you will fall down. Back to square one. The other process is like the monkeys. Whereas the process of bhakti is like the kitten, or like the she-cat carrying the kitten. So therefore, complete security. Mare Krishna rakhe ke, rakhe Krishna mare ke. If Krishna wants to protect you and lift you up, no power in the world can stop you. So you are safe when you surrender to the Lord fully. And frees us completely from sins. The other process does not do the cleansing process completely. Something remains still. Some contamination, some motivations remain. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. I will completely relieve you from all sinful reactions. Do not worry. This is Krishna's guarantee. You can't depend on people's guarantee, you know. But Krishna's guarantee is there. That anyone who surrenders unto me, I will thoroughly clean them. And when Krishna takes up some cleaning process, whatever he does a thorough job. So we have to have faith. The Supreme Lord does anything, he does perfectly. So in this way, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, using Arjuna as an instrument, is declaring to the whole world that the ultimate perfection of life, the ultimate goal of life or perfection of yoga is to totally surrender unto him with love and devotion. And there is no other thing higher than this. This is the ultimate perfection of all yogas. Whether it is karma, jnana or ashtanga. Any of these yogas can culminate only when it comes to the platform of pure, unalloyed devotion to the Supreme. In fact, when the Lord came as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared in the scriptures, that the Lord will come as a devotee to show to the world how to do devotion. Just like sometimes a teacher takes the hand of a child and writes down ABCD. That doesn't mean the teacher is learning her ABCD. She has come down to the level of a child and teaching the child how to write his ABCD. Similarly, when the Lord comes as a devotee, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll discuss about him in the next session. He himself taught the ultimate perfection of yoga, and that is how to render pure bhakti yoga or loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So, two kinds of process are there. There are two kinds of human beings. Those who are faithless, they are materialistic people, agnostics, or voidish, who think that God is void, there is nothing like that, nirakar, nirvana, etc. They have no idea of God, and they don't believe in God, and they have no faith in God. But the faithful can be divided into four categories. This is elevation. We were discussing a ladder, right? Yoga ladder. For people in the mode of ignorance, the only thing that motivates them. See, one thing is, yoga means, number one, we have to surrender to the instructions of the Lord. That means we have to follow the scriptures. We shouldn't break the laws of God and become sinful and suffer. We have to follow the laws of God, which is the scriptures. So, the faithful belong to four categories. You may be in Rajoguna, you may be in Tamoguna, you may be in Sattvaguna. For people in the Tamoguna, who are so much covered, but they have some little faith, maybe God is there. Then, therefore, they try to follow scriptures. For them, what is the motivation to follow God? The lowest kind of motivation is fear. In fact, it is said, fear is the beginning of wisdom. Fools dare where the angels fear to tread. A foolish person may act thinking that he is independent and rot in hell forever, or in a sense, for a long time. Nothing is forever in the material world. Just like children, if a very naughty child, the only way to motivate him to keep quiet is show him a stick or some punishment. If you don't behave, either you have to write so many times or you have to, I'll punish you with a stick. Spare the rod, spoil the child. This is only for people in the mode of ignorance. So for Tamoguna people, the only way they will behave themselves or follow the scriptures is the fear of hell, which is a fact. Just like if you don't behave, you'll go to the prison house. If you break the law, you go to the prison house. So the lowest kind of people, the only kind of motivation is fear. Fear of disease. Why people, meat eaters, why they are giving up ultimately? Not because of, you know, love for God, or God doesn't like, or mercy in their heart. No. Fear of disease. Mad cow, oh ho, no more beef. What is that? Hey, what, some fever? Chicken? Huh? Bird flu. Only that can stop them from eating chicken. If you say, Baba, not good, you know, spiritual life, not. Come on, forget it. Bird flu, no more chicken. And then probably they may taste something else, they may like it and slowly give up. That's a different thing. So, for the people in the mode of ignorance, the first step is fear. Fear of hell, fear of death, fear of disease. It's a fact. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. One should become wise. One should not act callously. One should not act whimsically. One should, human life is very responsible. Higher than that, first, the lowest level of motivation is fear. Therefore, you obey God. But higher than that is gain. For people in the mode of passion, we discussed, unlimited desires are there. So, Krishna is very intelligent. How he tricks them to follow the rules and regulations? So, you want to enjoy, right? If you follow nicely, you will go to the heavenly planets. And you will enjoy much better facility. Which is a fact. If you obey the order of God, God gives you with much more facilities. The pious people enjoy better. It's a fact. They enjoy much better happiness, better facilities, more satisfied. And therefore, the carrot of Swargaloka moves them forward to obey the laws of God. So higher than fear is gain. What will I gain? If I act nicely, I'll be happy in this world, I won't suffer, and I will go to the heavenly planets in my next life. Which is a fact, which is true. But higher than that is a sense of duty. Gratitude in the heart. God is giving me so much free of cost. He is giving me rivers and oceans of water. He is giving me sunshine. He is giving me air, everything free of cost. We get light and air and water, but we have to pay GST. But God is giving this since time immemorial free of cost. Everything, minerals, food, vegetables, everything is free God is giving through nature. Shouldn't we at least reciprocate by following His laws and be faithful to Him? This is a sense of mode of goodness, gratitude and a sense of duty. He is doing so much, I should at least reciprocate by behaving well, behaving according to his order. But the highest motivation is one of love. When you love someone, especially God, you really don't care how you are treated, whether there is reciprocation or not. You want to surrender your whole life for the pleasure of the beloved, without caring about your own self-interest. Irrespective of whether there is reciprocation or not. That is pure love. So, yoga means rising from fear. Beginning is fear of God. Then is gain. Okay, if I do this, God will give me this, this, this. Give us this day our daily bread. That's good. Rather than going elsewhere, you better go to God for your daily bread. He's our Supreme Father. But even to atheists, He will supply bread. Higher than that is duty, a sense of duty, gratitude, reciprocation. Ask not what the country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country. Right? This is a perverted reflection of this sense of duty. And then ultimately, pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotion to the Supreme. That is the highest. And that is Bhakti Yoga. So finally, after understanding what is the purpose of yoga, we discuss two processes. One is Sakama, then Nishkama, then Karma, then Jnana, Ashtanga, and then Bhakti. This is like a staircase, you know, going first floor, second floor, third floor. You have to climb the staircase. There is always danger of slipping and falling down, coming back to the lower platform. Once I went to this Qutub Minar in Delhi, a few years back, and I asked the person, there are seven floors, steep, very steep staircase, and you know, very sharp. It's like a tomb, like a huge pillar, like a huge big one. I asked, why it is stopped on the third floor only? And this man said, who was the guard, he said, one time, a big, huge, fat fellow was climbing. So many people were going up. And when he was almost on top, he slipped and fell. And because this is a narrow pathway and very steep staircase, when a big man, thick man, fell down, the speed increased as he was coming down. And because he was huge, everyone who was behind, he was carrying them also. And ultimately from bottom, everyone was flushed out. So many people broke their bones and heavily injured. Because one fellow slipped and fell, he carried everyone behind him. And that time they sealed up. Third floor itself, not more than that. Even if he falls, not many bones will be broken. So, when you climb this staircase, it is very tiring, it is very time consuming, and there is always a danger of slipping and falling back. But then there is another process which is very direct, and that is take an elevator. Sometimes there's a big building right in front of us, you know, like the buildings 100 floors, 120 floors. When will you ever climb up? What will be your situation if you are climbing up? But if you just get into the lift, press the 120th button, just stand there without monkeying around with the buttons. Within a few seconds, the door opens and you walk out and you look down, you will find that you have gone up. This is the gradual, this is the direct process. Similarly, to come to the platform of the supreme perfection of life of Bhakti Yoga, there are two processes. One is Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. After many, many lifetimes of performing karma and jnana and ashtanga, etc., in one particular lifetime you may reach me, O Arjun, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. Such a person is very, very rare. But then there is a very quick, short, swift and direct approach. And that is, we will discuss tomorrow. Not tomorrow, the day after. What is the process? Because we have very short lifespan. Life in Bombay is too much time consuming. We have very little time at our disposal to practice spirituality. And therefore, we can't do all this karma, ashtanga, bhakti, etc. So, how do we, in current situation, in this day and age, in the current situation that we are and the time of time that is available to us and the health consideration, so many financial consideration, with all these situations, is it ever possible to achieve the ultimate perfection of life in this very life? Does it mean we have to renounce everything, go to the Himalayas or come to the temple and shave our head? Is it ever possible without doing all this, continuing to remain where we are, can we still achieve the same perfection what Krishna is promising in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, very much. In fact, Arjuna is a proof of that. Arjuna wanted to renounce everything. And the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna to achieve the perfection of life by simply performing his own duty, but with a different motivation. It's not what you do, but why you do what you do and how you do what you do. That the Lord is seeing. Spirituality is not a change of dress. Spirituality is not a change of hairstyle. Spirituality is not a change of relocation from the home to the temple. Spirituality is a change of consciousness. Spirituality is a change of heart. How to bring about that transformation of the heart in a quick, short, swift, and safe way in this degraded, fallen age of Kali Yuga? That is the discussion for the last session. And it's very important. I would like to just summarize as I was telling you. What does this Bhakti Yoga contain? As it was written there, there are 9 processes. 9 processes of rendering or awakening that dormant devotion within our hearts. Actually, love of God is dormant within the heart of every living entity. But only in the human life, we can reawaken that dormant love. The animals can't do it, except somebody shows that mercy on them. But in human life, we have the ability. The choice is ours. If we want to awaken that potentially pure love, which is dormant right now, in a seed form, we have to water it and grow, allow it to grow so that the fruits of pure love may manifest. That is done through 9 processes. What are the 9 processes? The first is Shravanam. Shravanam means hearing about God, hearing about who we are, hearing about who God is, hearing about what's our relationship with God, hearing about the glories of God, the potencies of God, the attractiveness of God, the beautiful, wonderful, merciful qualities of God, the activities of God. In fact, whether you believe it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, whether you understand it or not, last 5 days what you have done is the topmost yoga system. You have not made any special endeavor other than the fact that you have come here and sat through, and you are not sitting in, some yoga posture and pressing your nose. Sometimes you are relaxing, sometimes you are moving, sometimes you are, looking around. At the same time, you have made the topmost progress. What is the proof? The proof is, the more you hear this knowledge, the more, because of this knowledge, you feel enlivened and enthused. The more your faith in God increases, the more your anxiety reduces. Because till now we were orphans. We didn't know, my God, what will happen tomorrow? Who will take care of me? If something happens to me, what will happen? The moment we realize, no, there is a supreme power, not a blade of grass can move without His sanction. And He loves us. He is all powerful. And He is all knowing. He knows everything in and out. He is all powerful. If He wants to help me, no one in the world can harm me. And He actually loves me. He will never do in my life something that is not good for me. In such a situation, everything in your life becomes a blessing of God. Whether it is a slap of the mother, or whether it is a caress or a pat on the back. It's all an expression of love. Because the child knows, my mother loves me, and therefore, I don't understand why sometimes she may slap me, sometimes she may caress me, sometimes she may kiss me, sometimes she may pat me. So the same love takes different expressions. When a devotee has full faith, in every situation he sees the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, for him there is no anxiety. There is no lamentation. Secondly, the more we hear about God, the more the natural status of the soul becomes is brought out. I don't know how good a speaker I am, but I can tell you one thing. The first time I heard this Bhagavad Gita course from a person who was presenting it, I remember it was a whole confused world full of anxiety, fear, worry, tension when I walked into this place. But every day that I heard, it was like a whole big impediment and obstacle just falling apart and the road becoming very clear. And I used to literally wait for the next day. When it will be 7 o'clock? When will the thing start? I could understand at that time that yes, this message is all attractive because it is Krishna's. If His message is so attractive that we wait every day to listen to it, how much more attractive is the Lord? How much more attractive is His name? How much more attractive is His form? But right now, why are we not getting attracted? We are not getting attracted because God is like a super magnet and we are like small iron filings. It's a natural thing for an iron filing to be attracted to a very super powerful magnet. And Krishna means all attractive. He's like a powerful magnet. He attracts all the souls. But now, this iron filing is rusted. When the iron filing is rusted, then you keep it in front of, even if it's a powerful magnet, it won't be attracted. Because the rust is, the oxides have covered its nature. Similarly, when we forget our nature of the soul, then that attraction because of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, shat, these are shat ripu. These are the six enemies which have covered our heart. We want to become God, and God becomes our competitor, our enemy. And therefore, we want to hear our glories, not God's glories. But the more we hear about God, it is like rubbing that oxide. The only way to remove the rust is you rub it against some surface. So these words of God, since time immemorial, transferred by the pure medium of parampara, anyone who regularly, who faithfully and sincerely gives oral reception, these message goes and cleanse the dirt from the heart. And the more sincerely and faithfully we hear to these words, with logical and scientific understanding of course, not blind faith, but implicit faith based on knowledge, the proof is you feel more attracted to Krishna or God than ever before. This is proof. And what is the natural result of regular hearing? The natural result of regular, whatever you constantly hear, you start speaking about it. If you are 24 hours reading about some heroes of this world, whether from the cricket field or from the film field or from the other sports field or any other field, it is a natural tendency to speak about that person. to look like that person, to act like that person. Natural. So that is called, after Shravanam comes Kirtanam. Kirtan means Kirti Gan, glorifying the activities, the name, the form, the qualities of God. So that is the second process. In fact, what I have been doing for the last 5-6 days is the second process of devotional service. And that is speaking about the glories of God, speaking the message of God, speaking the different qualities of God. That's a powerful process of absorption. After doing all your Ashtanga Yoga, Samadhi. What is Samadhi? To be fully absorbed in thinking about God. And what we have been doing for the past 6 days is nothing but fully absorbed in thinking about the nature, the activities, the energies of God. And His parts and parcels. You can put it off, Prabhu. Put that off. Let's switch it off. Oh, this is a good one. You can retain this. You can retain that picture. Just let it be there. This is the best. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam. We start Kirtigan, glorifying. And whatever you go on hearing and speaking, the third thing is remembering. In fact, when I was attending this course, a whole day I would be meditating on what was spoken before. And I would come prepared with so many questions, and the next day it would be answered generally. At the end of the day, I would have other questions when I went back. So these days went by as if desperately waiting for the next session, next dose, and it went on like that. So therefore, at least I remembered when I heard this, I decided in my heart of my hearts, I said, if and ever I get an opportunity to do some service, I want to do this service. What I experienced, I want to share with others. And by Krishna's mercy, I think some desire was there, this facility is there. So, this is such a wonderful opportunity. So, when we constantly hear what you have done in the last 6 days for 2.5 hours or 3 hours is the topmost yoga system, whether you know it or not. And what I have done is the second process, that is Kirtanam. And what we do after this, hopefully, till we come back the next day, is Smaranam, remembering. And after, if we constantly continue to hear, chant and remember, naturally we want to serve that person. If you are always thinking about hearing about a person, you want to put a frame of that, you know, picture of that person and put a garland hopefully. I have seen in college hostels, we go for preaching. They have their own heroes. Because 24 hours they hear about them. They chant their glories and they remember them and therefore they put up their picture, start worshipping them. That's natural. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho Smaranam, Padasevanam. Padasevanam means serving the feet of the Lord. Serving the feet. What does that mean? I don't know the Lord, how can I serve His feet? At the feet of the Lord are His devotees who have taken shelter. So, by serving the great souls who are surrendered to His feet, we are rendering service to His feet. Then Archanam. The fifth thing is Archanam. Archanam means offering worship. Every morning, the first thing we do is to offer our gratitude for all the gifts that we receive constantly. This worship is not simply a ritual, you know, 3 times, 2 times, and you know, looking at the vase and, okay, you're satisfied. I hope you supply everything what I want. If you don't, otherwise I'll go for someone else. Huh? This photo will be removed and I'll put up someone else. No. I have full faith that you will maintain me under any circumstances. And I want to express my gratitude. This person is doing everything for you since time immemorial. You can't spare 5 minutes to express your gratitude to that person the first thing in the day. And before going to bed, we thank. Thank you for all the wonderful gifts. So, Pad Archanam. Then Vandanam. Vandanam means praying to the Lord. I am helpless. I am ignorant. I am full of errors. I make a lot of mistakes. You are great. I am insignificant. Please always be merciful on me. This is called prayer. Prayer does not mean simply memorizing something and, you know, mindlessly just repeating it. Like a parrot, you know, shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega. Not like that. It's a feeling offering. So we should stand in front of the Lord, and these prayers should be heart. From heart it should come. You are great, my Lord, and I am so insignificant, and I have walked out on you out of foolishness, ignorance. Please, I want to come to you. Give me the strength, give me the intelligence to come to you. Help me. This is Vandanam. Then Dasyam, announcing to the whole world that I am the servant of God. Actually, this Kanchi Mala, this mala that we wear, is just like, you know, the corporation people come for taking away all the dogs. They only don't take away the dogs which have collars. Similarly, it is said, this Kanchi Mala is announcing to the whole world, I am Krishna's dog. Otherwise, you are Maya's dog. You are a dog of his external energy. So, Dasyam, we announce very happily, whole world wants to become God, but a devotee wants to become the servant of God. And he is not, in the material world, it's a bad thing to become a servant. Are you a servant? No, I am the controller, joint controller, assistant controller, whatever. Everyone wants to be the controller. Even if he does a third class job, but his card says executive. He is satisfied if a good title is given. Even if he is paid 10,000 extra, but you say, servant of the servant. He says, I don't want the job. Nobody wants to become a servant. But a devotee of the Lord takes credit. In fact, all the initiated names are called so and so Das. Right? Why do we name Das? Some people think that it is a title, you know, a Bengali title. Mr. C.R. Das. One person came to our temple and said, I want to meet Mr. Das. He said, there are 75 people who are all Das. Because everyone here is a Das. No one is a boss. So, Dasyam, we accept ourselves as a servant of God and serve God with our mind, body and words. By living in a way that is pleasing to God, by speaking those words that is pleasing to God, by thinking those thoughts that is pleasing to God. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam. Sakhyam means accepting Krishna or God, the Supreme Lord, as our most intimate friend. Why? Who is a friend? A friend in need is a friend indeed. Right? People say that. When are we most at the time of need? At the time of death. Who can help us? Your relatives may at best cry. Your doctor may resuscitate and try to do something. Give some injections. Your lawyer may try to calculate what is left and how to distribute it. No one can help you at the time of death. The only person who can actually help us so that our onward journey is very smooth and never we have to suffer again. The only person who can help you in the real time of need is God. Or His pure representative. God is our only friend. And anyone who introduces us to our real friend is also a friend. Because his desire is simply to introduce you to your real friend. Other than these two, any other friendship is one of morally, it's a question of business. As long as you scratch my back, I scratch yours. If you stop, then I stop. So, one has to accept friendship with God and His representatives. This is the way of advancing in Bhakti Yoga quickly. Dasyam, Sakhyam, and finally, Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means, my Lord, I completely surrender unto you. In fact, when we chant this Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mantra It comes from two words, man and tra. Mind, man means mind and tra means to deliver. Now our mind is attached to the bodily concept of life. To pick our mind from there and place it at the lotus feet of the Lord is the purpose of this mantra. Maha mantra. The great chant for deliverance. And what is the meaning of this mantra? This mantra is made up of three words. Hare, Krishna and Ram. Hare means, O energy of the Lord, Hara, Radharani, Srimati Radharani. Because she can give us devotion to God. Just like if a child wants to take something, ask something from the father, the child doesn't know when to approach the father. If he's in a bad mood, he has come from office and the child says, Papa, I want a cricket bat. What? He will get one beating of a cricket bat, but never the cricket bat. But he goes to the mother and says, Mama, I'll do something. She says, Beta, just wait, you know. And she sees the right time and says, you see, and when she sees when he's the right mood and, you know, how was the business today? Very nice. Achha. And by the way, you know, our child was saying, schools have said, there is very much needed. I think you should take a bat. Cricket bat, why? Full set you buy, no problem. Similarly, very difficult to approach Krishna. We don't know Krishna. But the universal mother, Srimati Radharani, she is very merciful. And she sees, oh, this person is really trying. And she recommends. And she is so dear to Krishna that whatever she says, Krishna just can't say no. Even if you are a useless person, if she recommends, he says, okay. So, Hare, we don't chant. See, if you see, we say Radha Krishna. We say Sita Ram. We say Lakshmi Narayan. Why we don't say Narayan Lakshmi, Ram Sita, or Krishna Radha? No, we say Radha Krishna temple, Sita Ram, or we say Lakshmi Narayan. Through the energy of the Lord, we can approach the Lord. So we say Hare Krishna. Hare means the energy of the Lord. So this mantra means we are surrendering to the Lord. Krishna means all attractive. And Ram means the reservoir of pleasure. We want to be attracted to the Supreme Absolute Truth. We want to get real satisfaction and pleasure and bliss. Therefore, when we are chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we are surrendering our lives. O energy of the Lord, Hara. O all-attractive Krishna. O the supreme reservoir of pleasure, Ram. Please, please, engage me in your service. I want to surrender my everything unto you. This is the meaning of this mantra. So, you don't have to do anything else. If every day we sincerely chant this mantra, even once feelingly, Krishna takes that very seriously. And he showers his mercy, by which, like the cat, she cat, picking up the kitten, when he decides to pick us up, we can advance like anything, like the elevator, you know. You don't have to go up all the way. He picks us up effortlessly. And suddenly you look down and realize, my God, I have advanced. I have gone so much up. I couldn't control my senses. I couldn't control my mind. But now everything is controlled. Because Krishna has taken reins of our chariot. Because we have surrendered, he takes the reins of our chariot. And when he takes the reins of our chariot, he can guide through all the impediments of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, destroy and come out victorious. So therefore, these nine processes, hearing about the Lord, always chanting about the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord, offering beautiful prayers to the Lord, and worshipping the Lord, becoming friends with the Lord, and surrendering to the Lord by crying out helplessly. Of course, this is the essence. But in our day-to-day life, when we go out from here, and every day, for 365 days a year, and throughout our life, how to remain, how to balance our life in such a way that in every situation, we are always focused. We are not deviated or distracted from the ultimate goal of life.